Good morning. My name is Daniel Namod. I am sitting here in my home studio in Orange County, California, a long way from you all in Hamilton. But I am just thrilled to get a chance to sing and share with you today. Let's start with a song. Little light has started streaming through the curtains that you made, and I guess I must be dreaming, cause I get to spend another day at home with you. So I tiptoe to the kitchen and I pour myself some life, and I hope my clinking dishes don't wake up my sleeping beauty wife. That's right, that's you. And I'm humming a song that I barely know. Must have heard it on the radio. And I'm a little bit late. Started my day. That's what happens when the last thing you wanna do is go. No, I don't need no fireworks or to understand the secrets of the universe. I just wanna finish up my work and come home to you. No, I'm not waiting on a Nobel Prize, unless that prize is looking in your eyes. I'll tell the judges I apologize and come home to you. Come home to you. Do, 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 do. Oh, yeah. Come home to you. Do, 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 do. As a younger man, ambition had me shooting for the moon, lying awake and wishing that I'd please become a rock star soon. Oh yeah, it's true. But I guess the story changes when you leave behind your youth. You lose a few illusions as you prove a couple deeper truths. That's right, who knew that it wouldn't mean much, the money or fame, a million strangers calling out my name. I'd rather sit in the yard and listen to Maggie bark and lose another hand of cards. Guess I never figured out this game. No, I don't need no fireworks or to understand the secrets of the universe. I just wanna finish up my work and come home to you. No, I'm not hoping for a Nobel Prize, unless that prize is looking in your eyes. I'll tell the judges I apologize and come home to you. No, I don't need no standing O's or to understand some complicated Shakespeare prose. I'll just do my dog and pony show and come home to you. No, I'm not looking for Olympic gold, unless that medal is your hand to hold. I just wanna, till we both grow old, come home to you. Come home to you. Do, 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 do. Oh yeah, come home to you. Do, 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 do. Come home to you. I wrote that song while my wife was pregnant with our little boy, Jude, who is now 8. So that song is just about 9 years old. It still feels like a current, present reminder to me to enjoy and appreciate and be grateful for the small stuff. And that is what I wanted to talk about with you today and sing for you a little bit about today. Maybe even ask a couple questions for you to think about today, if you're interested. We all have a lot of distractions in our lives. It's kind of the nature of the beast. Lately, here in the States anyway, the distractions are virus and politics. And boy, those two categories are screaming at us every day. I'm not sure exactly how it's felt for you in Hamilton, but I am sure the virus has loomed large, and if nothing else, you're probably shaking your head at the politics down here. But there are so many areas in life that are filled with small greatness, small beauty, small perfection, and that small perfection is so easily drowned out by bigger news and frequently by bigger worries, sometimes by bigger goals. So I thought I would talk a little bit about some of the small sweetnesses in my own life from that perspective and see whether it doesn't stir up a few little memories for you, a few thoughts for you about where you've arrived and what good there is in your own life. Not that you are inclined, as I am, maybe to be as distracted and as busy. But I think sometimes it's nice to take a breath and kind of pull focus, as they say in photography or filmmaking, pull focus away from some of the worries and some of the goals and plans, some of the past and future, and really take a moment to be grateful. We call it Thanksgiving. I don't know who we're giving the thanks to, really, but certainly, I mean, maybe you're giving thanks to a person, maybe you're giving thanks to God, maybe you're giving thanks to nature, but certainly to feel it is to feel full and to feel loved and to feel whole and to feel purposeful in a kind of paradoxical way. I mean, how many of us have attempted to chase a dream, to pursue some professional goal, some award, some prize, some fortune, some car, whatever it is, some square footage in a house or some hardwood flooring. Sorry, I'm thinking about housing because I've been renovating this house for 10 months and it's going to be about 10 more years. Doing great. But I do think in terms of, you know, the goals that we set can distract us from the good that's already here. I wanted to talk about a few of my favorite small moments and small things in my life that are of outsized significance in my heart, even if they don't show up on any balance sheet, and even if on a day-to-day basis, they won't come to mind and they won't do the good, I think, that they are available to do, if that makes sense. It's accessible. So, let's talk about my wife's pinkies. They're tiny. They're so tiny. I call them twiglets. I've been told, at least by her, and I guess I've heard over the years a few times, that I have kind of meaty hands, pretty thick hands. I don't know. I'm not a very big guy. I'm 5'7 or so. I play piano and guitar, of course, for a long time, which makes for, especially these muscles here, are very strong, like vice-like. In fact, they're so strong that when Jude was born, and even he actually did it a few months ago for the first time in years, he used to love, especially while if I'm holding him while he's drinking his little bottle, he would latch on with his hand to this meat right here and just squeeze it. And sometimes I would tense these fingers just to entertain him because it really is very strong muscles. So I have strong hands. And so does my wife. My wife actually works with silver. She's got very agile, dexterous hands, and they can hammer silver into shape and work for hours. But she has pinkies that are so small that if I put her hand behind mine, her fingers you can barely see, but her pinkies completely disappear. They look like little twigs. And they give me endless joy when I stop and pay attention to them. I don't know, you might be thinking, why is this guy talking about pinkies? But it is one of those little things that makes me smile when I pay attention and notice, or when I think of it. Then there are these little moments that give me joy when I remember them, right? Like for example, on the same subject of hands, ironically, or whatever, coincidentally, my dad's mom, my bubby, died at 98 years old about a decade ago, and she was a tiny woman. She was maybe 4'3" or 4" tall, I'm not sure. She was the youngest of 13 kids who emigrated from Poland at the turn of the 20th century, 1900 or so. All 13 kids and parents and their two parents arrived in the United States penniless, not speaking a word of English. And my little bubby, Betty, was tough as nails, always up for a joke, always up for a chuckle or a visit with her grandkids, her three grandsons, me and my two brothers. She was also about as wide as she was tall. This is not a woman who exercised. And she spent the last 10, 12 years of her life in a wheelchair. She lost the ability to walk. She had trouble seeing it after a while. And you know, her life, her body wound down years before her life ended, years before she was gone. And she never lost her mind, never lost her memory, never lost her sense of humor. She was a tough, cool, funny little lady who had been through a lot in her life. And I used to visit the nursing home where she lived the last decade or so of her life in Chicago area where I grew up. And every time I visited, it was a big deal when Danny visited, because I would always sing for the old folks in the Jewish nursing home where my bubby spent the last decade of her life. So when I came, they rolled out the old piano and they rolled out the old people, and they gathered around, and I gave a full-on concert, like 45 minutes or an hour every time I visited. We're talking, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 concerts probably. And those were concerts that my parents came to, of course, beaming with pride. My aunt and uncle usually would come because my family's in Chicago, most of it. And my bubby in a wheelchair was not going to be able to dance or anything at all. She had favorite songs, and they were different than anyone else's favorite songs in that nursing home. Everyone else in the nursing home wanted to hear classic American songbook pop songs like "Chances Are, Since I Wear a Silly Grin, The Moment You Come into View." You know, Johnny Mathis, you know, Cole Porter songs and Irving Berlin and the Gershwins and so on. That's what everybody wanted to hear, but not my bubby. My bubby always wanted to hear Fiddler on the Roof. Fiddler on the Roof was the only music she ever wanted to hear, and I never wanted to sing it. To me, it's very cheesy and old-fashioned and very, very maudlin, very sentimental. It's beautiful music, you know. Is this the little girl I carried? Is this the little boy at play? I don't remember growing older. When did they? You know, that's how I always felt. And because my bubby was always funny and always up for a joke, I could sit there in front of the room full of, you know, 50, 60 seniors and say, "Bubby, and now a medley of songs from Fiddler on the Roof. Songs that I do not like to sing." And she starts laughing, you know, every time. "Songs that I only sing for you, and songs that I only sing when I'm here." And she'd laugh her little head off and is sitting in her wheelchair. And then I'd start with "Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me match," and so on. And she loved seeing her grandson sing at those shows. And the giveaway for me, every time that she had reached peak happiness, was, as I mentioned, she's in a wheelchair, she can't get up. Her little hand would dance. She would do this. And she had tiny hands. And she, like I said, less than 4'6". This is a tiny woman in her wheelchair. And her little hand would just do these little dances. And that's when I knew I had her. And it's just one of those little pleasures as a performer to notice. You know, I sing all over the place, and I'm, except for the last 7 months, I'm usually in front of people live. And I do have a sense of when a room is slipping away from me, or falling asleep, or thinking about fleeing the place. I can get those vibes. I know what I'm doing by and large. In this case, of course, I can't see you at all. But when my bubby's hand would start to dance, that is when I knew that her grandson had done what he came to do, because she didn't exercise and she couldn't walk and she couldn't dance. But this was her transported to those songs that she loved so much, which I have still to this day not sung since the day she died. And I don't know when I will, and not because I can't stand them, but because they were Danny's songs for his bubby and really no one else. So I just thought that was another little one of these little moments to really appreciate. When I think of little moments of kindness, also, these moments can be easily missed. You know, a day can go by, and all we feel, at least here in Southern California, here in America, again, culturally, I know I've been to Hamilton, and I've been across Canada and several times over the last 20 years. I love Canada, and I'm not saying that just to flatter you. I love it, and one of the things that I most definitely feel about Canada it is internally a more peaceful place. It is almost organically a friendlier place. It just is. There's a greater connection between strangers in a way. In fact, one of my favorite phrases that I ever heard, I read on the wall of a church in Saskatoon years ago, and it said, "There are no strangers, only friends you haven't yet met." And I can honestly say you'd be much more likely for that to be true in Canada than in the United States. It's sad for America, but I'm happy for you all there. And that's sincere. But when I think of little moments of kindness, you know, as I was saying, they're easily drowned out. Southern California, we're inundated with traffic. I mean, you truly plan your day around when the cars won't be on the highway. The last 7 months has been remarkable here in terms of how light the traffic has been. But ordinarily, if somebody calls and says, "I'd like you to come and see a movie with me on," I'd say, "When?" And they say, "7 o'clock on Monday." And I say, "Where?" And they say, "In West Hollywood." I say, "That's not gonna happen." Because West Hollywood, for me, right now is 35 miles away. Which if I were to drive in a normal place, or if I were to drive maybe at 3 in the morning, maybe it would take 35 minutes. If I drive during the day to go see that movie with a friend, I would have to budget conservatively 3 hours to cover those 35 miles. So you've got honking horns, you've got impatience, you've got extreme temperatures sometimes, nothing like what you guys get in the winter, of course, but we are, right now it's 105 degrees outside. I have very high gas prices and very high rent and very high real estate prices. There are pressures, not to mention the political and social pressures, not to mention the virus stuff these days. It's easy to miss little kindnesses. It's easy to think from the headlines, to think from the news, that most behavior is distant and selfish, calculated, cerebral, functional. And my observation is that for every act of cruelty or every crime committed, every person who cuts you off on the highway, for every one of those moments, there are probably 100 moments of kindness that never get written about in the paper, never get talked about on the news. They're committed by people who receive no awards, no applause, no tips, no credit. Nobody notices. You and I do these things every day wherever we go. An extra smile where it's not called for. Holding a door for somebody, helping somebody lift something that looks unwieldy or heavy for them. A kind word. These things don't get credited. These things, though, are some of those small things that make life exceptional and beautiful on a daily basis if we take the time to notice them. And these are, by the way, are not only things that we witness and things that we do, but also things that are done for us. So, for example, here's a very small thing. When I was a boy, my parents, by the way, they're both lawyers. Both attorneys. My dad was a law professor for 45 years, just retired. These are not huggy people. They're not sentimental people. They're intelligent people, and they're disciplined people, and they have come a long way from very humble beginnings, and they raised 3 boys to be good boys, to follow the rules and stop completely at stop signs and pay our taxes to the penny and, you know, be good fathers. I mean, we were raised to be good with a capital G. It's a beautiful thing. So I don't think back on my memories personally and think of a thousand sweet moments. It wasn't like that. That's not how our family worked. But every time my dad would take us to the movies, when we were kids, just before the movie, I'm nearsighted right now. I'm not wearing my glasses, but because I'm looking right at the green dot. But I've been wearing glasses my whole life. And we would go to the movies, and my dad, just before the movie would start, would reach over and take the glasses gently off my face and wipe them clean and then give them back to me. And it's one of those little things that nobody would notice, but it was him taking care of me. And you know, I know it sounds dramatic to say, you know, he's alive and well, my dad, but if I outlive him, even by decades, I don't know, no one knows, I will always think of that gesture. And he did that dozens or hundreds of times. And I always noticed it, and I never said anything. I just always felt it, that when he was reaching over to take the glasses off my face to clean them, it was one of those little dad taking care of me moments. So I promised a couple questions. So can you think of a moment like that? That somebody did something tiny. At least it looked from the outside like it was very small, but imprinted on you that you were cared for and loved. I'll bet you can think of something. Lately I've been thinking about what motivates me to give a couple dollars to a stranger on the street, to hold the door, carry groceries, help a neighbor in need. When history repeats itself in headlines every day, solutions never big enough for problems that we face. As a man, as a dad, what difference can I make? Cause I know better than to think I'll be remembered for a favor or a quarter or a smile. Oh, but maybe before I return to sender, I can do one thing worthwhile. So I'm gonna try. I'm gonna try to raise a kind child. Sure would help if our boy went and got an MBA and took care of his artist, mom and dad, in their old age. But let's face it, Wall Street probably isn't in his DNA. But when his first grade teacher said she wanted us to know, it's Jude who always comforts any kid who sits alone. There's just so much pride my heart can take. My retirement can wait. Cause I know better than to think I'll be remembered for a fortune or a pension or a prize. Oh, but maybe before I return to sender, I'll have done one thing worthwhile. So I'm gonna try. I'm gonna try to raise a kind child. I don't want him to think the world is his to save. It's too much pressure anyway, it can't be done. I don't want him to think he has to be a saint, 'cause the truth is saints don't have any fun. Mostly I just hope, my boy, you'll come to understand. No 401k or GPA can make a happy man. It's having roots, doing good, helping out where you can. So put down roots, do some good, take somebody's hand. You'll know better than most what really matters, what makes living this life worthwhile. And there may come a day your own kids will remember how their granddad used to say with a smile that he raised. Child. That's based on a true story, that song. A phone call that we received from our boy's teacher, telling us that he had spoken up for a kid in his class who had been struggling, having a hard time, had just arrived in the United States, not speaking a word of English, and had been throwing elbows and getting in some trouble and breaking rules. Of course, he was 5 or 6, probably couldn't understand the rules, but it was not going super well for him. And one day, the teacher read a story to the class, as she did every day. The class is 28 kids spread out on a rug in the classroom. And when she finished reading, she called and told us that Jude had raised his hand and said, "I think Evan did such a good job listening that he should get an extra point today." Now that is a small thing, except it immediately summoned thoughts of my bubby. The same tough little woman who's dancing with her hand while I sing Fiddler on the Roof. That woman arrived in the United States and started kindergarten not speaking English. And I visited her on her deathbed only a few days before she died at 98 years old. And on her deathbed, we still were talking together about one of her proudest achievements in life was that in kindergarten, she couldn't speak a word of English. And in second grade, she won the spelling bee. And as soon as I heard what Jude had done and said on behalf of Evan, I thought of my bubby, and then I told him when he came home that day. I thought, 13 kids, parents didn't speak English. It probably wasn't her parents or even her siblings who tapped into Betty's innate intelligence and got her on track to become the best speller in the class 2 years later. It was probably a teacher or a volunteer or an assistant who noticed that this was a sharp little girl who needed help and support and encouragement. And somewhere along the line, she got it. And I said to my boy, I said, "You don't know Evan's personality. You don't know his intelligence. You don't know. He might be the smartest kid in the class. He might be the funniest kid in the class. He might cure cancer. He might be an Olympic athlete. He might turn out to be your best friend for life. And right now, he doesn't speak English, and you don't know. But what you do know is that saying a simple, nice word like you did, that you caused the entire class to look at him and smile. You caused the teacher to look at him and smile. And it might very well have been the first time since he arrived in this mystifying, you saw all this language, but in this baffling, mystifying new place. He doesn't know anybody. He doesn't know what's going on, where he is. He doesn't know the country he's in. He doesn't speak a word. I said, that might have been the first time that his entire classroom looked at him with nothing but approval and kindness and praise. And they had been giving him all kinds of leeway and space, but still, you don't know what a moment like that can do, I told Jude. But it's very possible that as the years go by, you'll find out what Evan's made of, that you can't know yet. And saying a kind word now can make a difference for a lifetime. And you probably will never know the exact difference you made, but you made a difference. And I do think that is one of the great powers of a small act of kindness, is it can redirect a day, it can dry a tear, it can change a memory. A small thing can pack a powerful impact. So, what other small things in your life right now may be easily overlooked, but are actually making a huge difference for you? What are some of the small comforts you are right now experiencing this day, this week, this moment, that would otherwise go unnoticed? How do you feel about taking a minute to think of them and even to thank them? I'm grateful for this house, this rickety old house that we bought in November, last Thanksgiving, and have been fixing up ever since. And especially since the shutdown, where my entire traveling musical life ended summarily, just for the moment anyway. All my travel canceled, all my performances canceled, and I became a home renovator, which I did not expect to become. But I'm grateful for this house. If we had been shut in, the house that we moved from as a family was too small for us by a lot. My wife makes jewelry, I make music. Jude is a rambunctious little boy, and at the time we had the dog Maggie that I mentioned in that song, the first song I sang. We needed much. We had a 2 bedrooms, one living room, and that was pretty much the whole house. And we were filled to the gills with stuff. And we are not hoarders, but we just needed more room. And we had no yard. So fast forward to a shutdown when our boys' school is completely canceled, where my work is canceled, and where Melina is home with 2 boys, me and my son, who are usually out and about and busy, which means she doesn't get any of the quiet time to create that she normally has. We needed the space much more than we thought we would. So we had just moved in November, and although it's rickety and termite damaged and every surface on every wall and every room needs a repair of some kind or another, we had a yard to run around in. Santa brought Jude a trampoline, so he had a trampoline to jump on. We had more space in the house to get farther apart from each other for a few hours a day. Not a small thing to be able to do. And so I'm grateful for that. That was an accident, if you believe in them, that really gave our family great dividends while I was learning how to drywall and destroy floor and demo rooms and strip a wall to the studs and so on. Boy, oh boy, I've been busy. And I've got the injuries to prove it. Here's one of them right here on my finger. That was me hanging insulation and using a stapler to staple some of the backing paper of insulation onto a stud. Boom! And I don't know what happened. I missed. I didn't miss. And oh, did that hurt. This fascinates my boy, by the way. Like the fact that there's a wound under a fingernail. He's going to be watching it for months while it, you know, makes its way out. Anyway. So what small things have you not noticed lately? Soft sheets. You know, I notice when I pay attention, I'm grateful for clean water on the tap. You know, much of the world struggles to get clean water, or has a limited amount parsed out to them, or they have to walk miles to get it, or it's not clean, and they're sickened by the water, and there's nothing they can do about it, or they have to boil the water. I have clean water on tap. I also have been making a living making music now for 21 or 22 years. Let's not even talk about how spectacularly fortunate I feel about that fact. But honing down on the small things to be grateful for, my boy has never walked into the kitchen. He's 8 years old. He's never walked into the kitchen and said, "Mommy, Daddy, I'm thirsty." And we had to tell him there's no milk in the fridge because we can't afford it. How about that for a simple thing? But not simple at all. For millions and billions of people, they can't afford another gallon of milk. Not right now. Maybe not ever. Can't afford the electric bill to keep the refrigerator on. And we're not rich. But I have never, I mean, by some standards, of course, we are, but I don't feel rich, not in Southern California, not even close. But we have never had to tell him, "I'm sorry, Jude, there's no more food. We're out of food. We're just going to have to go to sleep hungry." That's never something I've had to say to my boy. I hope I never have to. That is not a small thing to be grateful for. That is a huge small thing to be grateful for. How about a friend you've talked to recently? How about an old friend? I love old friends. The old friends, the ones you don't have to catch up on for them to still know you. To know, they, you tell them whatever details you want. You skip stories you don't want to tell. You don't have to fill in the blanks on how you were feeling or how it went or what, how, why your dad responded a certain way or why, you know, why your spouse responded a certain way, because they know you and they've known you and you're in their spine and you're in their spine. And I love that feeling. And some of my closest friends are some of my oldest friends. I'm talking since 7 or 8 or 9 years old. These are people I don't have to fill in any blanks for. Their existence is not a small thing, even if I don't talk to them for 6 months. Just to know, I have a friend who lost her dad when she was a teenager. This is a friend who was my next door neighbor as a little boy. She was across the alley from the Namods. And she used to come over all the time and play ping pong. She was a little tomboy. She lost her dad to a heart attack when she was just starting high school. And she and I are still close friends to this day. And one of the things that means the most to her about me as her friend is that I remember her dad. And almost nobody does. All of her friends and husband never met him. And, you know, everybody in her life since then never met her dad. Her dad is just a story. To me, her dad is the very, very bald man who used to take me and my brothers and Marlo and her brother Gary to the ice cream store to get ice cream. He was a super nice, gentle guy. And I remember him. And when she wants to talk about him, she has me to talk to because I knew him. That's a small thing in the world. But it's not a small thing to her. And therefore, it's not a small thing to me. So what small thing do you offer somebody? What safety net do you offer somebody that you don't even have to say out loud? Who offers it to you? Is there a booth at your favorite restaurant where when you walk in, you don't have to tell them what you want because they already know? Or coffee shop? Brother or a sister who, as soon as you call and say hi, they say, "What's wrong?" Because they know just from the tone of your voice that something's up. That's a small thing, but it's a big thing. How about your favorite shoes? What keeps you comfortable as you walk around? Favorite couch? Memory? Car, What are some of the small things in your life that can be very easily taken for granted? I don't even say that as a negative. You take for granted because they're there, they're in your life. Small things that make a big difference, whether you notice them or not. The opportunity this morning is to notice them just for a few seconds. I don't know if you know Mr. Rogers. Mr. Rogers, I know he was very big on public television in America, and I assume in Canada too. Coincidentally, I happen to have lived in the same neighborhood as Mr. Rogers when I was a boy. Before we moved to Chicago, we lived in the Squirrel Hill neighborhood of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, exactly where, down the street from where Mr. Rogers lived. And we never met him, actually, but just a coincidence. Mr. Rogers was, this emblem was a spectacular presence of love and kindness and compassion on television for millions of children. He looked them in the eye through the green dot, like I'm doing right now, and said, "You are special. You are worth it. You are loved. I care about you." This is what Mr. Rogers did, day in and day out, to millions of kids. They may not have heard it from anyone else. It's kind of like my boy with Evan. Mr. Rogers did that on a scale of millions, right? So Mr. Rogers Fred Rogers had a little thing that he did. I've seen videos of two or three times that he did it, which tells me that he probably did it more than that. Where he was, the videos I've seen is when he's receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award for his work in television. And he stands up to receive the award. Of course, he gets a standing ovation. And say there's 2,000 or 3,000 very well-heeled people in the audience. It's a big room and it's a black tie affair. And, you know, there are a lot of black gowns and tuxedos and diamonds and beautiful, rich, fancy TV stars, etc. What he does, what he offers them, I'll offer you now before I close. Here's what Mr. Rogers did several times. Rest in peace, Mr. Rogers. But here's something that he did several times. He invited this room full of rich, successful, frequently famous people to close their eyes. So if you're comfortable, go ahead and close your eyes for a minute. And what he would say was, "Can you think of somebody in your life who always wanted the best for you? They cared about you and they wished you well always. Can you think of that person? That person who always represented good encouragement, support, love, kindness, inspiration, belief in you, that person. Can you think of a person who did that for you?" And then he'd say, "How special do you think they would feel right now if they knew that when I asked you that question, they came to mind? How blessed and honored would they be to know that that's what they have meant to you?" And then he would conclude by saying, "Whether they are here or gone, whether you are in touch with them now or haven't talked to them in years, send them a silent thank you for representing that love and unconditional support, for always wanting the best for you." Small things make a big difference. Little comforts, little luxuries, little pinkies, little dance moves, old friends, new friends, little kindnesses given and received. I'll tell you, there is a lot to be grateful for. A lot. in the simplest of life. There is a lot to be grateful for. If this is my last song, if this is my final day, if tomorrow I'll be gone, what do I wanna say? If this is my last song, if it's my time to go, when my body's moved on, what will I have to show? Oh, but fortune and fame, scattered to the wind, the things that make a name just don't matter in the end. But is the world a little more peaceful? Oceans and skies a little more blue? Is humankind a little bit wiser about the good that we can do? Does the sun shine a little bit brighter where before there was only rain? If so, then I'm glad I came. If these are my last words for all of the earth, about to disappear. If these are my last words, there's nothing that I need to say. I have only tried to serve. It's never been about talking anyway. So much hurt there is to heal, it's hard to understand. All I can hope to feel is that I am doing what I can. Is the world a little more peaceful? Oceans and skies a little more blue? Is humankind a little bit wiser about the good that we can do? Does the sun shine a little bit brighter where before there was only rain? If so, then I'm glad I came. Have I given hope to the hopeless? Has a hungry soul been fed? Has a child stood a little bit taller 'cause of something that I said? Have I left a little kindness? Have I eased a little pain? If so, then I'm glad I came. For that, I'm so glad I came. If this is my last song, what do I leave behind? What do I pass on if I am out of time? Thank you so much for having me today. I hope you found it at least relaxing and hopefully a little thought-provoking or memory-inspiring. I wish you a wonderful fall season ahead and a healthy, happy new year when it comes around. Thank you so much. If you would like to hear more music, by the way, I didn't sing as many songs as I planned on singing. But if you have access to Facebook, which I never would have paid any attention to before this whole pandemic thing happened, but I have been giving a series of concerts on Facebook, and they're all free, and they're all online, and I would love for you to enjoy them whenever and however you feel like. Just go to my Facebook page, which is Daniel Namod, USA. It's only USA because there is, believe it or not, another Daniel Namod out there halfway around the world who also writes songs, so I needed to differentiate myself one way or another. So Daniel Namod, N-A-H-M-O-D, USA, and click on videos and start scrolling, and you'll find all kinds of concerts and single songs and workshops and talks, all sorts of things that I've been doing, over 50 concerts that I have given away since this all started. It's been my pleasure and joy to add a drop of calm, a little bit of peace of mind, hopefully, a little bit of a laugh sometimes, into the stew of fear and not knowing that are so pervasive right now. So take good care. Thank you again, and hope to see you sometime in person, sometime soon. Bye. Lots of love.